It has been an incredible week of Vacation Bible School, but I will tell you, this is the tiredest I've ever been at the end of Vacation Bible School. In fact, this morning I told Steve, I said, I might need that stool over there to sit on, but God's grace and God's strength is sufficient. It has been a really neat week. As I'm listening and learning and growing and gathering up some things. And there are no coincidences. Amen? There are no coincidences. Okay. God's in control. And if we're paying attention, God is doing some pretty cool things. And what makes it cool is if we're paying attention, we get to join in with what's going on. And this week, Vacation Bible School has been really a tremendous, tremendous blessing. One day we were out here, and if you never come by to see what's going on during Vacation Bible School, you ought to, because we have the best workers in the world. Everybody worked in Vacation Bible School, any capacity, stand up. Stand up, all if you can. Stand up. We had 378 kids, and then I don't know, 200 plus workers, and truly the best, great attitude, sweethearts, loving, caring, excited. It's just amazing to see. There were no sour looks. Everybody was excited and happy and rejoicing in doing this. We were out there loading up kids one afternoon when we had finished up, and somebody looked over at the sign, the marquee out there. It said, organize for the task. And they said, isn't that an appropriate sign for this week? I said, yeah, it is, because I don't think there could be a more organized Vacation Bible School on the face of the earth. And again, the best for sure. And again, I want to express appreciation to Ms. Judy Knowles for the incredible job that she does. And her assistant, Jennifer Dooley, who is a real blessing. Amen. Now, I love you. I'm blessed to be your pastor. But I got something I want to share with you this morning that's very, very important. I've told you before, I don't plan to retire. And I shared this within the context that I think when God's call is on a person, then that call is for life, unless God for some reason revokes it. So I plan to be a preacher, pastor, till the day I die. But this week, God did a wonderful thing of doing some fine-tuning with this, because for the last month or so, I've been sharing with you that I really am looking at ministry and focus on families and marriages and homes, particularly young families or families with young children, and going even further back than that to really be seeing how can we nurture our young people, our high school age kids and our college age kids, and help them think about their future. Perhaps specifically if they're thinking, God, one day I want to be married, I want to be a husband, I want to be a wife, I want to be a father, I want to be a mother. And I think we've got responsibility to nurture them and help them grow in that. So God has been putting all this vision together, and all the pastors along with Judy and Jennifer at the end of the summer, after summer's over, we're gonna go away for a day or so and really focus in on this and put together a plan. But they don't know this yet, but I'm about to share with you that I got Friday, it was clear as a bell. I got up, did all my reading, did my praying, went and took the dog for a run, came back home, and the Lord opened up the heavens and helped me really understand something, that the commitment that I'm making to these families is for 20 years. I'm making a commitment to Harps Crossing Baptist Church to lead us to focus on families, particularly young families, to help nurture those that are not yet married, that one day will be, that one day will be moms and dads, and those that have young children right now, because I want to be here for those 20 years to see these who are growing up now and coming of age, and see them become adults who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, with that, I've said, okay, God, if we're going to do this, you're going to have to keep me healthy. You're going to have to keep me strong. You're going to have to keep me being able to think and reason. So this morning, I thought I was losing it because I forgot everything. This morning, I mean, it's just everything, because there were a few other things going on, and as I began to think about this, I came across something that's happening with the Fayette County Board of Education, And the really difficult part I had about this, I had thought that this was a state or federal mandate, but I found out this morning it wasn't. It originated with our own Fayette County School Board. So tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, there is a meeting at the Fayette County School Board because our superintendent decided it was time to train the nurses in the school system to talk to children starting at first grade about gender awareness. And they'll ask the question, well, how do you feel today? Well, today I feel like a boy. Tomorrow I may feel like a girl. And the next day I may not have any feeling at all. Folks, that's not what I want my kid learning at school or my grandkids learning at school. That's not their responsibility. Their responsibility is to teach my kids how to read, how to write, how to do math, how to do history, and how to think logically. But helping them interpret and understand gender awareness, it's not their job. In fact, I believe if the school would do their job, moms and dads would do their jobs, and the church would do their job, then all people, no matter how they live their life, will be respected and honored. And I think that's where it starts. So, I today, and I had this discussion with Sheila yesterday. Today, I'm sharing with you that I am making a 20-year commitment to run this thing. And for ask the Lord to put together a curriculum, to put together a focus, to put together an emphasis, starting with our children, helping them understand what marriage, family, the home, mom, and dad are all about, and then doing the same type of emphasis with our students to have parenting classes ongoing, to have Financial Peace University classes ongoing, to have all those things so that we can help our families once again become families and homes. My understanding from reading and hearing about history is that the countries, the nations that throughout the family, throughout marriage, throughout the home, they've ceased to exist. Okay? And I don't think that's the way most Americans want us to be. I don't think that any of us thinking about, any of you having children, having grandchildren, and thinking about, well, I wonder what my son will turn out to be, whether he'll be a boy or a girl, or whether my daughter will decide she wants to be a boy. Now, I realize that there's some complications with that, folks, but for the simple thing is, when a boy is born, he's a boy. When a girl is born, she's a girl. And the goal in life, in marriage, and home, is for a man to marry a woman, and the two become one flesh, and there would be offspring. And that's what I want to begin to make sure we're emphasizing and clear while the world is going nuts, that we will have a firm foundation and will present the truth, and this will be a family-friendly church. Now, this week, as I was out in the parking lot, it was kind of like I was looking at everybody doing their thing, and it kind of like the Lord said, look, there's already an infrastructure in place. There's already an infrastructure in place. I looked and I see kids that were in Vacation Bible School last year and they're working in Vacation Bible School this year. And I'm seeing adults who 30 years ago, they were in Vacation Bible School here and now they're serving in Vacation Bible School. And I think God has provided an infrastructure. And for some of us, we are what the country has is an aging infrastructure. But the best way to fix the aging infrastructure is to teach the young ones about marriage and family and home done God's way. Amen? Amen? That's what I want us to focus on moving forward today. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verses 22, 23, 24, 25. Stand with me, please, out of honor and respect for God's Word. Now, this morning, I prepared this outline on Thursday, actually Wednesday, and was really didn't know exactly where we were going to be and how this was going to come out. But I'm thankful that the Lord saw us through the first service. I trust He'll see us through in the service also, and we'll arrive where we need to. Now, you follow along as I read from James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. He's talking to believers. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I believe that hearing what we hear should impact our thinking. Therefore, what we hear should be by plan and design, that we want to hear truth. We want to hear God's word, and we want to fill ourselves up with God's word. Therefore, thinking impacts our doing. In other words, whatever it is that you think about, that's what you're going to do. And we need to make sure that what we think about becomes what we truly believe, and what we truly believe becomes what we truly do, and we carry on with that. Now, I share that with you because Moses was given the challenge of leading a nation of maybe 2 million people or more. And his father-in-law, Jethro, comes to see Moses one day because Moses is trying to give guidance to 2 million people. I don't know about you, but you know, we don't have maybe but around 1,000 who attend on a regular basis. So I'm thinking, I have a hard time with 1,000. What would it be like for 2 million? And Jethro, his father-in-law, comes and says, listen, you're trying to do this all by yourself. And that's what this Exodus passage is about. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to break the people down, divide them up into groups of 1,000, of 100, 50s, and 10s, and organize each of those groups with leaders so that they can deal with some of the lesser things, and you will only have to deal with some of the more significant issues. So he was leading him to be organized for the task of leading the greatest nation in the world, and that is the people of Israel, who still exist to this day. Now, I believe that this is a message for us today, and we're talking about being organized for the task. Now, all through this message this morning, I want you to be thinking about your place in the organized part of Harps Crossing Baptist Church, so that each one of us is doing our part to love Jesus and lead others to love him too, particularly thinking about families, children, moms, dads, and helping them nurture and grow. Now, one of the things that occurred to me as I was thinking about this, and I shared this with the men's group last night or yesterday, and that is I am 65 years old. My wife and I have been blessed to raise 3 children and to see 6, soon to be 7 grandchildren come into the world that we have an opportunity to share with. And therefore, I believe that not only do I have the calling of God to lead the church in this way, but also I believe I have a little wisdom and a little experience to share also. And so I want us to think about, every one of us, what part am I? I'm thankful for the we, but I want us to think about what part I have to play in what God is doing here and move forward there. I want to just quickly look at Jethro's advice to his son-in-law and then break it down a little bit. There was a task. The task was he had the responsibility of leading a people both spiritually and judicially. Remember now, there weren't judges. There was Moses. And so his father-in-law said, here's the issue. There's a task to be done, and that is to lead these people. And for us, it is to love Jesus and lead others to love him too. You, all the yous in here, all the I's in here, I am a person who is to love Jesus and to lead others to love him too. That's our mission as a church. So there's the task. The danger was trying to minister to 2 million people. One person cannot do it. It was wearing Moses out and wearing the people out because they were having to wait in massive lines. Can you imagine going to the Department of Motor Vehicles to renew your driver's license and there's 2 million people in line in front of you? You've probably felt like that before, but it hasn't been quite that many. But it was a task that had to be done, and it was wearing everybody out. And it was maybe to share the load would be better. So there was a task, there was a danger, and then the solution was very simply divide the people up into groups and subgroups. Those were tens, 50s, hundreds, and thousands. You know, at Harps Crossing Baptist Church, we've divided our body up into Sunday school classes. There may be a class, let's take a class that has 50 people in it. And of those 50, maybe 30 attend regularly. I'm talking about every week. And then you've got some that are hit or miss, some that never attend. And then you've got some that are first and third Sundays and second and fourth. And I told you last week, fifth Sunday, people have no idea what to do. So you divide that group up into five groups of 10 each. And then they minister to each other and care for each other. And sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so lately. They sit around me in worship. And I look at them and say, well, what do you want me to do? Did you miss them? Yes. Then you go find out where they are. Call them. Send them a text. Send them a note. Send them an email. You reach out to them. Because, you see, each one of us need to take that responsibility. I'm not being ugly. But you see, if I picked up the phone and said, Rex Cobble said that he missed you in church the other day. I didn't notice that you weren't there, but he told me you weren't there, so I'm calling to check on you. Wouldn't it make more sense that Rex would call that person? We need to learn how to make sure, what am I doing? Who do I miss? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to reach out to? And it's a blessing when I go to the hospital or Ken goes to the hospital and we find out somebody from their Sunday school class has already been there. That is a true, true blessing for me. So leaders of each group establish ministry groups. Are you part of a small group? Are you part of a Sunday school class? We've been talking about this. Inside of your bulletin today is a listing of Sunday school classes. This would be a great time to do that. Be a great time to get started, to get cranked up. And I don't think you could have a problem that would be too much for you to overcome that in order to be part of a small group, because you need that class and that class needs you. Now, I have a listing of our five purposes, worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. And I have some of the ministries that go along with it. This is not exhaustive. We'll get to that later on, and you'll be talking about some more finding my place in my church. But I want to take a moment to look at this. Look at the lists that are there, ministry sampling, worship. I've had people tell me, Preacher, I used to sing in the choir. Let me ask you a question. Why did you used to sing in the choir? That makes no sense to me. Did God say, okay, it's time for you to quit because I don't like your voice? Maybe that was a practical reason. But why? In Sunday school, I've had people tell me, Preacher, you know, I used to teach Sunday school. Why? Why did you used to teach Sunday school? Whose idea was it for you to quit? I can't imagine if somebody came up to me, Preacher, and said, you need to quit preaching. I would say, are you crazy? If you don't want me here, I'll go someplace else. I'll go find a place where I can preach, because I believe as long as the calling is there, I'm supposed to preach. As long as the calling is there, if you're a teacher, you're supposed to teach. If you play in the orchestra, you should be playing in the orchestra. If you sing in the choir, you should be singing in the choir. You should be grabbing it up and running with it. On and on we could go. Audio visual, AV. I don't know how many folks, I know there's three camera people out here right now. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up in the booth up there, and then there's a couple back there in the production room. And it's important because they video the sermons and video the services, and then of course they go out live stream so people that are sick or on vacation can watch and view the services. It's a ministry that's going on, and it's a blessing. You say, I would love to do that. Okay, then give us a call. We'd love to put you to work and give you that opportunity to serve. Ushers, personal family worship, greeter ministry. What a blessing it is on Sunday morning to see our folks out ministering to each other in this way. Discipleship, life classes, discipleship classes, training, teaching, nurturing. I'm loving the whole idea about offering parenting classes and marriage classes and the Financial Peace University and doing those all the time. Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, so that parents that have children, they can come and drop their kids off for one of the mission organizations and choir, and then they can go to one of these classes and learn and grow themselves. A fellowship. You need fellowship. Now, when I'm talking fellowship, listen. The word is koinonia. It means sharing your life. A lady in our church who shared with me this morning about having going through struggles in the last few years with a teenager. And this week she got to talk with another mom of a teenager. And how that door opened up because she had been doing the struggling. And now this lady understood and they were able to talk and share. And it was an encouragement. That's koinonia. That's true fellowship. It's more than eating together. It's more than small talk. You see the others there that are listed under fellow outside get-togethers. Men's ministry. Had a great men's ministry meeting last night with about 32 men, 33 men there. At that, women's ministry, Golden Harps. Ministry, finance. I'm thankful for our financial folks. I don't do finances. I spend, but I don't do finances. All right, I don't do finances. I'm not a businessman. When I used to say this, our assistant treasurer at that time would say, "Yes, we know that you're not a businessman." I am not a businessman. Okay? I know I'm not. I'm thankful that God provides for us people that work in personnel, people that work with finance, people that work in all these areas, homebound, child care, financial counselors, student ministry, children's ministry, music ministry. I love the whole committee team thing. I love to see a committee. You know, I've been doing church work and ministry since I was 19 years old. And I have watched this thing of, well, we're going to change the name from a committee to a team. And I've watched Southern Baptists, Georgia Baptists, South Metro Association, now the Southside Baptist Network, spend so much time and energy to change all their stuff, from committees to teams. And when it's all said and done, it's still a committee. All right? I don't care what you call it. A group of folks that work together to accomplish something is still called a committee, whether you call it a team or not. And you see, you need those people working together, sharing, focusing on things to deal with. And you see missions. What a great opportunity. Chengdu, in just a month, we're going to have how many students coming from Chengdu, Southeast Asia? How many? 15 students, and they're going to be in homes for a couple of weeks of our members. What a great opportunity for you to go to the other side of the world without going anywhere. They'll come in here. Also, Good News Club, Baltimore. We have a team that's about to go. We've had a team that just got back from Canada. We're always having teams coming and going to Southeast Asia, North America, Middle East, Women on Mission, Mission Friends, Crusaders, ACT Teams, RAs, GAs. Folks, there's a place for you to say, what am I going to do in serving? And this is just a sampling, just a small sampling. Later on in the next few months, you're going to see a whole lot more than this. And you can say, well, what about this? Okay, let's do it. We need to say, how are we going to be effective at loving Jesus and leading others to love him too? I have been asking you now for probably a couple of months for buy-in. You know, I want you to tell me. That's great. I love it when you tell me. But I'd much rather you'd see you do it. I'd rather see you begin to do Sunday school. I'd rather see you begin to serve, to begin to be whatever it is that God wants you to be and serving in his church, so that this church can be a shining, bright beacon. And I believe that if we will do everything we can to strengthen marriages, families, homes, and children, we will impact the world. We will impact the world. And that is my vision. And I am saying to you, if the Lord keeps me strong and healthy for 20 years, I am in. And I want to see us become an effective church that blesses moms and dads, blesses single moms and dads, blesses children, and provides an atmosphere where they can grow strong and become godly, mature adults. I've been doing a whole lot of reading lately, and I had to dig this out this morning because I wanted to put my finger right on it. Because sometimes we ask the question, well, what would we like for our children to turn out like? See if this fits your bill. To be divinely guided, to possess great wisdom, understanding, and common sense, to have a grateful spirit, to have a joyful spirit, to be financially astute, to be responsible, to be a person of good morals, to be loyal, to have a great and abiding faith, to have good manners, to be humble, to be hardworking, to be confident, to be honest, to be healthy and physically fit, to have great friends, to have respect for authority, to have a servant's heart, to be a great thinker, to accept the role of a leader, effectively demonstrating and guiding others to the results listed above. Folks, what in the world? If we said, let's do this, let's see these babies. You see, I'm particularly interested in this because my number 7 grandbaby will be born in August. And I want to see that grandbaby grow up and become a 20-year-old responsible young adult who fits the bill with this. And if that doesn't turn you on in your heart and your mind and spirit, I want to ask, what in the world is wrong with you? Because what America needs is the church to be revived in the area of the family and marriage and the home. And let's do it. Let's do it. And I'm telling you, I'm in. I'm in. And I'm serious, and I've already got pages that I'm writing and working together to make it happen. You know, I oftentimes hear it, and I thought about it a lot over the weekend. And you watch these baseball players. You know, they get in their 30s and past 35, and they talk about how they're too old to play. And then you know what they say about them? When they have a revival in their, they say they reinvented themselves. I'm asking God to reinvent me, or whatever fits, so that I can do what I believe that God has for me to do and for us to do, to say, hey, I've told you this before. I believe it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our greatest days as Harps Crossing Baptist Church are in front of us. And we need to say, let's do it. Let's go. Stand with me, please. Maybe today you need to come and say, hey, I'm in. I need to join this church. I've been visiting here for a while, but I believe it's time for me to say, I like what I hear. This is where God wants me, and I'm throwing in my lot here to be a part of Harps Crossing Baptist Church. Pastor Paul and I will be down here at the front. Maybe today you need to come and say, today I need to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I want to admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died and was raised again, and I want to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. But I want all of us praying. One last thing, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, I'm going to be at the Fayette County Board of Education meeting. It's up there at the Board of Education. It's up there behind the cemetery, next to the cemetery up there in town. I'm going to be there. I don't know if I'm going to say anything or not. That's up to the Lord. I don't particularly want to say anything, but if I'm supposed to, I will. But I believe we need to be there and say, this is not what we want our school system doing. It doesn't fit the bill. We are a family-focused county and a family-focused church, and we're going to fight and battle for this. Turn this place into a great prayer meeting. Pastor Paul and I will be down here at the front to talk with you and pray with you. Also, on the end of the altars on each side, there are little slips of paper for the kids that are going, the people that are going to Super Wow. If you'll commit to pray, if you'll come and just draw one of those. But let's turn this into a great prayer meeting for the next few minutes.